exercises, and measurable goals to attain can really work all by yourself. Activities that might suit you in this category include strength training, exercise machines like treadmills, stairmasters, stationary bikes, walking, jogging, running, swimming, hiking, biking, or some type of exercise that you generate at home, perhaps aerobics. Perhaps you enjoy working out with other people, particularly in exercise classes or in facilities where there are plenty of people. And maybe you don't. In addition, you might consider working out with a partner. Some of the best exercise options for you and a partner might include any type of exercise class, such as dance, strength training where you can help and spot each other, endurance activities where you pair up and run for an extended period of time, perhaps against a clock or perhaps considering distance. You may be someone who prefers low-impact activities that emphasize flexibility and are conducted in a quiet atmosphere designed to bring about inner stillness. In addition, these activities may be appropriate for you, particularly right now, if you have certain physical and medical limitations and need a gentler form of exercise. Some of these options include yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, or stretching. Bottom line, choose activities that appeal to you, that you feel you can perform with a reasonable degree of skill. Then be patient enough with yourself to gain the requisite mastery. The reality that you're getting good at exercise plus getting results from it will reinforce your positive behavior. Once you've settled on some sort of physical exercise, the next step in the connection process is to program your lifestyle in such a way that it is impossible for you to avoid exercising. Step 2. Programming an active lifestyle. Programming an active lifestyle means incorporating exercise into your day-to-day life so that you can do it with as few changes or disruptions in your routine as possible. You set up your life so that exercise is as normal and as routine as brushing your teeth. Having said all of that, I am all too well aware that the number one excuse people give for not exercising is, I don't have time. Well, if that's your excuse, my question for you is, do you have time not to exercise? If you don't exercise, you're saying, in effect, that you have time to stay overweight and that you have time at some point in your future for a long and still growing list of life-crippling, life-threatening diseases that exercise is known to prevent. So let's agree right now that you will schedule specific time during the week to exercise. Then I want you to protect that time just as you do other important activities of daily living. No matter how chaotic your schedule, you can make time, even if it means working out to an exercise video while your kids are otherwise occupied. Bottom line, no excuses. What matters if you are to succeed is that you make the time and then you use the time. Your decision to exercise must become so important that you are willing to carve out time in your schedule several times a week, every week, to do it. That is exactly what I want you to do in this step. Take out your calendar and ink in times which you will exercise, even if at first it is only 20 minutes of walking three times a week. My rule for you is this. Keep those appointments just as you do your other appointments with your doctor, dentist, barber, or hairstylist. Let nothing interfere, absolutely nothing. At first, exercising will bring on some pain and discomfort, but this will subside as your brain counters these unpleasant feelings by producing natural chemicals called endorphins. Endorphins are messengers of the pleasure sensation. The more you exercise, the stronger these pleasurable sensations become. You might not like exercising at first, but keep at it, and before you know it, exercise will become the rule rather than the exception in your life. It's all about creating a new habit. Remember that your weight and your overall health are sustained, positively or negatively, by the lifestyle and environment you have set up. Creating a new, physically active environment is critical to keeping your positive life momentum alive. Planning and scheduling exercise is a programming tool essential to your success because it provides structure, so as not to be left to your own trial and error methods. A good exercise program should be structured enough with time-protected sessions that it props you up and propels you forward during times when you just don't feel like exercising. You can't miss your exercise program because it is already structured into your week. Scheduling exercise into your week is an important self-requirement in achieving permanent weight loss and control. You may wish to program yourself for exercise success in other ways as well. One important move is to keep a workout diary that tallies up your achievements. The miles you've walked or jogged, the weights you've lifted, the exercise classes you've attended, or the number of times per week you participated in active sports. A personal record-keeping program, maintained honestly, provides important feedback on your progress, keeps you on task, and shows you in black and white the substantial progress you are making toward improved fitness. Another critically important move is to program your environment in such a way to support your goals. Have cues, reminders in your environment, your exercise clothes in plain view, a treadmill by your desk, or a route home that takes you by your gym. This all makes it easy to fall into exercise with as little trouble as possible. Step 3. Consequate your exercise behavior. This step acknowledges that contingency management is often needed to support and reinforce productive but initially less pleasurable behaviors such as exercising. Contingency management is a way in which you can reward yourself, conditional upon performing a specific type of other behavior first. It is based on an important behavioral premise that people will perform less pleasurable activities if they are the path of access to the more pleasurable activities. To illustrate this concept in everyday terms, let me use an example every one of you who are parents will be familiar with. As is customary, your child has homework to do after school, and as is just as customary, he or she is probably reluctant to do it. You tell your child, "You can watch your favorite TV program tonight, but only if you do your homework first." You have, in essence, made watching television contingent upon doing homework first. Watching TV is the incentive for your child to do the homework. In using contingency management, you consequated your child's actions. You paired two activities. One was less desirable behavior, homework, and the other was the reward, TV. There was a consequence to doing or not doing the less desirable behavior. The beauty of contingency management is that it has the power to change the frequency of a behavior for the better by altering its consequences. So try this on yourself. Consequate your exercise behavior. Decide, what will it take? What type of contingency management will be the most effective in getting me to exercise? For example, if you don't exercise in the morning, you can't comb your hair. Or if you don't exercise, you can't put on makeup or take a shower. No contingency is too trivial for consideration. Step 4. Monitor your progress. When it comes to exercising, some people move like they're dragging an anvil. That won't get it. In order to shift your exercise program into high gear, you've got to be able to determine your level of progress. You have to have some way of knowing whether you are working at a level that will help you lose all the pounds you want to lose. In an aerobic program, one way to keep tabs on your progress is to use a heart monitor. I find that this technology is a great way to monitor my own exercise effort. If I don't use it, it's like I'm idling in neutral, and I won't work my heart enough beats per minute to make a difference. But by using a heart monitor, I'll push myself to the upper boundaries of my heart rate range for my age. A heart rate monitor keeps you accountable. I've included a chart on the text file CD, which lists target heart rates during exercise for everyone age 20 to 80. Step 5. Maximize your weight loss. Once you've got some positive momentum going, you're exercising at something you like and you're programming your world to help you stay with it, you've got to gradually ramp up to make your exercise meaningful in terms of losing weight and keeping fit. Exercise physiologists generally recommend that if you are overweight or obese, you should gradually and eventually progress to exercising 5 hours a week. As you shoot for this goal, you can't just go through the motions. You've got to put some oomph into your exercise. This means if you're taking a yoga class twice a week, maybe you ramp up to taking that class 3 or 4 times a week. This means if you're walking around the block 2 times, maybe it's time to circle the block 5 times. This means if you're walking without any problems, maybe you might want to pick up the pace and do some jogging. This means if you're doing the stair climbing machine at your gym for aerobic exercise, it might be time to add a strength building component such as weight training to your program. For an even greater fat burning boost from aerobic exercise, try shorter bursts for about 5 to 10 minutes of heart pumping activity, punctuated by 5 minutes of slower activity in order to lower your heart rate. For example, 10 minutes of jogging interspersed with 5 minutes of walking and so forth, for a total of 45 to 60 minutes of aerobic activity. This method of exercising has been validated in research to have tremendous fat reduction effects. The other important recommendation for increasing the fat burning value of exercise is to add some form of strength developing activity such as weight training to your exercise schedule at least 2 to 3 times a week. This is a big, big deal in terms of weight control, so I'm going to make a big deal out of it. Weight training is an excellent way to give your unwanted pounds a speedier heave-ho. Yes, aerobic exercise such as walking or swimming and flexibility-enhancing exercises such as stretching or yoga are important, and there should be aerobics and flexibility components to any exercise program. But there are certain specific benefits that only weight training can bestow. Exercising with weights burns fat and preserves muscle while you're losing weight. Nearly 100% of the weight you lose is pure fat if you weight train. It strengthens your muscles, joints, and bones. It decreases your insulin levels so that your body is in better hormonal balance, and it makes maintaining your weight loss an absolute breeze. In fact, a number of just published studies have found that weight training stands out as a proven lifestyle strategy for keeping excess weight off over the long term. Weight training throws your metabolism into high gear so that you burn calories even while you're resting without even trying. Each pound of body-firming muscle you add to your frame becomes a fat-incinerating furnace, allowing you to eat moderate amounts of food without worrying about gaining fat. Once you've rid yourself of the weight you set out to lose, that new muscle keeps your metabolism purring along, and as long as you keep working out with weights, you needn't fear ballooning back to your old size. You don't have to cut back on food so drastically since the newfound muscle you've acquired is burning up calories so fast. As you continue to exercise with weights, expect to see exciting changes in your body. You'll begin to look completely different than you ever thought you could. Gone are your love handles, your spare tire, your doughy hips and thighs. In their place are a tight waistline, a firm butt, legs you don't have to hide under baggy clothes. In short, a younger-looking body and a younger-functioning body. You'll look better than you have in your entire life, and you'll feel at your absolute best. Many of you who are women are out there saying, "That sounds great, but there is no way I'm going to lift weights. I'm big enough already, and I don't want to turn into the Incredible Hulk." Warning, red alert, this is old thinking and it is wrong thinking. As a woman, your lack of male hormones will prevent you from ever bulking up, no matter how hard you work out. When you weight train, it's like taking a little chisel to your body. Off comes blubbery thigh fat, gone is the jiggly butt. There's muscular definition in your arms you never knew you had. You're firm all over and smaller and better proportioned, too. You'll feel so good about yourself and what you've accomplished that you'll decide that brownies, potato chips, and pizza just aren't worth it anymore. If you're new to weight training, it is important to enlist instruction from someone who is qualified to teach you proper lifting techniques, including how to use dumbbells, barbells, and exercise machines. This person could be a certified personal trainer or coach who has experience in this form of exercise. Most gyms and health spas have these people on staff, and their training services are usually free. A word to exercise beginners. If you're emerging from a state of couch potato-ness without ever exercising regularly, or at least not in a long while, you'll need to break yourself in gently and gradually. You've got to build up a little at a time. Look on the text file CD for a sample 8-week exercise program for beginning exercisers. This will help you get it in gear with weekly goals to help program you for success. Some final words as you go forward. Let your physician know that you plan to start an exercise program and get his or her okay. This is vitally important, particularly if you have chronic health problems such as heart disease or diabetes. If you're a man over 40 or a woman over 50 and you plan to start an exercise program, consult your physician as well in order to rule out any existing health problems. Chances are your physician will applaud your decision, since for most people, exercise is an important form of preventative medicine needed nearly every day. As a parting shot, I don't want you to guess where I've been coming from. The more active you are, the better your results. If you put off exercising, let me remind you that your clock is ticking. If you remain inactive, then days, weeks, months, and years will continue to be wasted. Time that could and would have been amazing and significant in your life. But start today, and in a time span as brief as 10 minutes into your workout, you will feel better. You'll be energized. You will have a better frame of mind and outlook on what lies ahead. You've just got to make the move. If you don't, it becomes easier and easier just to stagnate and stay dormant. Stop justifying your own inactivity and stop avoiding the challenge of change. Changing your lifestyle from inactive to active requires energy and commitment. But easy or hard, I'm telling you that you must do it. It's your weight, your health, and your life that is at stake. Key 7, your circle of support. Unlock the door to social control. Weight loss is not always a do-it-yourself deal. If you expect to lose weight and keep it off, you can really help yourself if you will build and nurture relationships that affirm and uplift you in life-changing ways. This key unlocks the door to social control. The ability to nurture relationships built on trust, acceptance, and encouragement. It is a fact of psychological functioning that when people attempt to make lifestyle and behavioral changes, including diet and exercise changes, they succeed over the long haul when they have genuinely positive support provided by family, friends, co-workers, or even from professional sources such as physicians, therapists, ministers, or support groups. Thus, this key deals specifically with the people in your life and the degree to which they support you or sabotage you. It takes into account that the people around you aren't mind readers. You have a responsibility to tell them what you want, what you expect, and what you're seeking so that you can tap into their support to help you achieve your goals. With this key, I'll be challenging you to take step-through-the-door actions necessary to break free from entanglements that are not in your best interest, and instead nurture a network of people who will support you in a meaningful, purposeful, and constructive manner. Why is this key and its action-filled steps so important? Look at it this way. People will either contribute to or contaminate your personal weight control and management. Suppose, for example, that you came to see me because you wanted to lose 75 pounds. It might take several counseling sessions before you get on the right track because we would have to spend many hours talking about your lifestyle and your behavior. But suppose that I go to your house instead of you coming to see me. I meet your spouse and your mother-in-law, and they're both as wide as two axe handles. Bingo, I'm clued in right away. You're surrounded by other overweight people. And in all likelihood, these relationships have influenced your weight in some monumentally negative ways. Without question, your relationships powerfully impact your weight, your health, and your very well-being. They can influence the choices you make and can affect your behavior negatively or positively. With food, for example, we tend to eat more when we are in the company of others, and we tend to eat more of the wrong stuff. We tend to entertain ourselves with food if those in our social circle do the same. We might get sucked into watching a football game all afternoon rather than going outside and playing a game of touch football. All of us are prone to doing what our family, friends, and close associates do, even if it's against our better judgment, because we want to fit in and be accepted, so we will generally conform to the behavior of the groups to which we belong. Our relationships have the fortunate or unfortunate tendency of pressuring us toward conformity. It's just the human way. Sometimes this is healthy and constructive, while at other times it may be destructive. To live in a healthy manner, you've got to recognize the influence of your relationships on your life and take care that they don't push or pull you in the wrong direction. How much support do you have in your life right now for what you are trying to accomplish? Get your pen and paper ready and take this quick test. For each of the following 20 statements, write down the number of the statement, and next to it, write down either true or false to exactly express what is going on in your relationships. Don't be afraid to tell yourself the truth, even though it can be scary to admit certain things in your answers. The only thing worse about having a non-supportive relationship is to be in denial about having a non-supportive relationship. As is the case with any problem, early and appropriate detection and intervention is vital to positive change. So get ready to write down the statement number and the answer, true or false. All of the following questions should be answered in regard to either friends or family, whichever best applies. Number one, my friends or family compliment me on healthy eating. True or false? Number two, my friends or family refuse to eat in a healthy manner. True or false? Number three, my friends or family notice when my behavior changes in significantly positive ways. Number four, they insist on taking me to fast food restaurants and buffets. Number five, they compliment me on my appearance. Number six, they push foods that are a problem for me. Number seven, they help me purchase and prepare healthy meals. Number eight, they protest changes in our regular diet. Number nine, they help me overcome temptations to eat. 10, they make fun of my efforts to lose weight. 11, they offer to exercise with me. 12, they complain about the time I spend exercising. 13, they give me encouragement to exercise and to stick with it. Number 14, they buy and bring home low response cost foods that are not good for me. 15, they rearrange their schedules in order to exercise with me. 16, they don't want me to exercise and don't support those efforts. 17, they talk to me about exercise in a positive manner. 18, they schedule activities that interfere with my exercise time. 19, they provide helpful information about nutrition, exercise, and health. 20, they eat fattening foods in front of me on a regular basis. Now for the scoring. An odd-numbered question to which you answered false, or an even-numbered question to which you answered true, scores against your relationship in terms of the level of support provided by those people in your life. Listen to the questions again and look over your responses to get a feel for where support problems may exist. Don't get down on yourself or the people in your life, though, because I believe that you can deal with anything as long as you recognize it. Whenever you begin to take charge of your weight and your health, some people in your life may belittle your efforts. They may make fun of you. They may tell you that you can't do it, and they may urge you to eat food you don't need. But these attitudes and behaviors don't mean that the people in your life are mean or evil. It's just that they don't want things to change. They may have gotten comfortable with the deal the way it is and don't like it that you're changing that deal. People truly do fear change, especially if it affects their relationships and their lifestyle, and they will become frightened and may refuse to accept your changing of the status quo. Maybe your husband worries that he will lose you to another man if you trim down. Maybe your best friend thinks you will get all the girls if you get in shape. Maybe your mom thinks you don't love her anymore if you refuse her fresh-baked apple pie every night for dessert. But no matter what the situation or motivation, if you allow yourself to be sidetracked by these reactions, you're in danger of veering way, way off course. You must be very careful not to let others in your life deter you from your task of managing your weight. You can be sensitive to their fears and help them to a degree, but you must let them own and be responsible for their own feelings. This is about you, your weight, and your health. It's not about them. Okay, let's move on to talking about your relationships and how they can work for you or against you, specifically in terms of your weight management. To move closer to achieving your weight loss goals, it goes without saying that you need people in your life who will support you, friends, family members, and others who love you unconditionally and believe in you. By contrast, you must go on red alert that there may be saboteurs in your life. Some obvious, some not so obvious. There are people who will try to frustrate your efforts in various ways, and their behavior can obstruct your success if you're blind to their sabotage. The audit you just took hopefully provided a much-needed wake-up call to the degree of support or sabotage you have in your life at present. In the action steps that follow, you'll find instructions on what to do with those who would sabotage you, intentionally or unintentionally, and how to inoculate yourself against their manipulation. Step 1. Sort out the saboteurs from the supporters. There are 4 basic types of saboteurs who can be obstacles in your path to weight loss. Go on the alert for these saboteurs and their behavior patterns. Be cautious when you are the most vulnerable and always have a plan in place for dealing with them. Normally, they are not directly trying to harm your weight loss efforts, but rather they are trying to protect their own lives and interest. They are getting in your way because you have gotten in their way by changing the way you eat, changing your looks, or changing a way of living that has become familiar and comfortable to them. If you can spot their sabotage, how you handle them depends on which type of saboteur you're at odds with. The 4 types of saboteurs that I typically see as being among the most likely to try, purposefully or not, to thwart your efforts towards your goal are the following. 1. The food pusher. 2. The control freak. 3. The green-eyed monster. 4. The statue. The food pusher is among the most common type of saboteur. Your mother, who lovingly but relentlessly pushes her homemade brownies at you even though she knows you're trying to lose weight. The party hostess who says, "You can go off your diet just this once," enticing you with second helpings of mashed potatoes and gravy. Your coworker who at coffee breaks says, "You've just got to try my homemade cinnamon rolls." Or even your spouse who brings chocolate-covered cherries home to you once too often. Food pushers like these can be extremely undermining because their methods are virtually invisible. They seem so loving, so well-intended. Their influence, however subtle, can be especially powerful because it typically comes from people you trust, your parents, grandparents, relatives, spouse, and close friends. The food they want you to eat is offered in the name of love and concern, making it very hard to resist, particularly if you don't want to hurt their feelings. Understand that food pushers may be attempting to seek approval from you, and in doing so are trying to manipulate you into eating food to please them. They may have an insatiable appetite for reassurance and stroking, and one way they attempt to get it is to constantly fish for compliments about their cooking. It's important for you to recognize these behaviors in people with whom you share your life, but at the same time, you must steel yourself against their persuasiveness. Be kind when you can, but firm when you must. You alone are responsible for what you put in your mouth and what you do to get in shape, and if the people in your life don't get this, then that's their problem, not yours. With the control freak, it's all about power manipulation. The control freak is dead set on sabotaging your personal control and power over your ability to manage your weight. I vividly recall a couple I worked with for several months who were seriously considering divorce rather than continuing their hostile marriage. Darren and Sarah had been married barely 2 years. For Sarah, it was her first marriage, for Darren, his second. Years earlier, Darren's first wife had had an affair, and one day Darren came home to a house that had been stripped bare of all their possessions. His wife left him for the other guy, and divorce soon followed. Though deeply wounded and dazed by the rejection, Darren attempted to get on with his life. A friend introduced him to Sarah on a blind date, and a whirlwind courtship ensued. Sarah was attractive, bubbly, and smart, but in sharp contrast to his first wife, she was about 30 pounds overweight. The weight, however, was not a sexual turnoff for Darren. Shortly after getting married, Sarah decided to diet and exercise at a local gym in order to lose weight. Darren began to grow very uneasy. At first, he started picking at Sarah, complaining that she was leaving the house too often to go to exercise classes instead of spending time with him. He began to criticize the meals she cooked and griped that they tasted too bland, like styrofoam. In attempts to get his way, Darren would spout guilt-inducing phrases like, "If you loved me, you'd cook food I like. If you really cared about me, you'd stop spending all that time at the gym." The only kind words he ever spoke seemed to be, "I like you, fat." This behavior continued to escalate. Darren forbade Sarah to go to exercise classes, and he even forbade her to wear makeup. He began bringing home all sorts of fattening foods, including candy, cakes, bakery breads, and so forth. In retaliation, Sarah lashed out with in-your-face obscenities and other verbal poisons. The only way she could calm down after these venomous arguments was to binge on ungodly amounts of sugary, high-fat foods. There was no way she could lose weight in the midst of this mental and emotional turmoil. The viciousness on both sides had torn them apart, and the relationship was going down in flames. In therapy, as our interactions wore on, it was apparent that Darren was terribly insecure personally. He was so afraid that Sarah would leave him as his first wife did that he did everything he could to control her appearance. The fatter and more unattractive she stayed, according to Darren's sick reasoning, the less likely she was to stray. Ultimately, this couple did decide to examine their behaviors with a very critical eye, so as to stop the sabotage, both of their marriage and of Sarah's desire to get in shape. By confronting their shortcomings and resolving these control issues, Darren and Sarah eventually did save their marriage. Darren was transformed from a saboteur into a supporter once he realized how much he was hurting Sarah and the relationship. Working through their problems strengthened the bonds between them, and today they plan healthy meals together and serve as each other's training partners in the gym. Sarah, by the way, is another success story, weighing a healthy 125 pounds, thanks in part to Darren's loving support and the transformation in their relationship. Learn to evaluate the messages you receive from those closest to you. Is your mate telling you that you can't because he or she will be threatened if you do? Is your friend or relative acting out of fear? If there's a control freak in your life right now, be forthright. You may have to reassure him or her that, yes, things are changing, but this does not mean that your friendship, affection, or love will change with it. Your overall attitude about what you're trying to accomplish should allow for no second guessing on the part of people in your life. Now let's talk about the green-eyed monster. Think about some of your friends who might be too unmotivated to address their own weight problems or start an exercise program. Then you show up on the scene looking lighter and more in shape than the last time they saw you. Jealousy, envy, and resentment erupt with all the force of a long dormant volcano. Sure, they might hover all over you with words like, "You look great, how'd you do it?" while inwardly they're thinking, "Bitch." These people, the green-eyed monsters of the saboteurs, are not really happy over your success. They're just plain jealous that you're looking so good, and they'll try to control you with their jealousy and sabotage your efforts. This may take the form of words like, "You're losing too much weight," or "You look too thin," or "Don't you think you're taking this diet thing too seriously?" Be on guard for such comments, since they're not made out of sincere regard for your health, but rather they come from envy. Be aware, too, that their behavior may manifest itself in actions like food pushing. Whatever the behavior, the green-eyed monsters will try to get you off your program and bring you down to their level. Even though they'd hate to admit it, they'd love nothing more than to see you fail or get in worse shape than they are in. Shoot straight with the green-eyed monster. Tell him or her that the behavior is putting up a brick wall between the two of you. Unless that wall comes tumbling down, the sense of trust and honest communication that once existed between you will be lost. Don't be deterred from achieving your weight loss goals just because somebody else is too afraid or unmotivated or threatened to go after their own goals. Remember that it's not somebody else's responsibility to tell you what you should eat or how much you should weigh. You alone are responsible for your weight and your health. What's more, no one has the power to persuade you to abandon your goals unless you let them. Finally, there's the statue. There may be people in your life who will not encourage you to change because they want, they need, consciously or otherwise, to maintain the status quo. I call these saboteurs the statues because they turn rigid and inflexible whenever you want to make positive lifestyle changes. They prefer the status quo because it is a safe, comfortable place to be. If you're the family cook, for example, and you've decided that everyone is going to eat healthier meals, it won't be long before your family hatches a conspiracy to get mom off her diet. If you've stopped drinking beer with your buddies on Friday night, be prepared for them to drag you back down to their level for the sake of their own comfort. You may get messages like, "You're no fun anymore," or "Aren't we ever going to go out to eat again?" Winning support from statues is tough, particularly if you've tried to lose weight in the past but have failed. Every attempt on your part looks so unstable, and they count on you to fail. They may even remind you, "Why even try? Look at what happened the last time you did this, or the last 100 times you did this." As with any sabotage, this type of pressure can make you less likely to stick to the changes you want to make. The key is to never let anyone take your commitment away from you, especially not for the sake of their own comfort. So, are there saboteurs in your life? If so, it's critical to know how to deal with them. Get your pen and paper ready. In this exercise, I'd like you to write down the names of people you feel might sabotage your weight loss efforts, intentionally or otherwise. Next to each name, I'd like you to write down the category of likely sabotage that fits. The food pusher, the control freak, the green-eyed monster, the statue. Some people may fit into more than one category. Please understand that this is not a fault-finding exercise. It's just a way to scan your personal radar screen for those kinds of people who might derail your weight management efforts, even in the kindest of well-intentioned ways. Next, decide upon the response you might give. Are you going to avoid the person altogether? Will you sit down with them and explain the program you're on and why? Will you let them know that their negative attitude or behavior is destructive and that it's interfering with your chance to lose weight? If it's a relationship partner who feels threatened, will you tell him or her that even though you're changing your lifestyle, your love will stay the same? Okay, pause the program and write out this exercise. Remember, list the people, assign them to a category of sabotage, and then generate a possible response. Step 2. Assemble your supporting team. Consider that there may be saboteurs in your midst. It requires a conscious effort on your part to recruit the necessary supporting team that you need. Having designed life strategies for so many people just like you, I've observed that you can build support in highly effective ways if you add to your support building an element of fun and creativity. In assembling your supporters, you must decide on who will be on your team and who will not, who will be part of your support circle, and who you need to be with you. To guide you in your thinking, let me introduce you to 4 team members who can be indispensable and invaluable to you as you go forward. The coach is someone with technical expertise or professional training who can provide knowledge on nutrition, exercise, or some other aspect of health management. Personal trainers, exercise instructors, support group facilitators, nutritionists, therapists, and physicians are examples of people who may serve as coaches in your life. They have the information, the resources, the guidance, the insight, and answers to your questions. These are people who provide practical help and have the background and education to do so. Their motivating power lies partially in their status as authority figures, since it is a well-known premise of social psychologists that authority figures do have a huge impact on behavior. Often a coach is a role model, living in a healthy way that challenges you to live your life with that same positive quality you appreciate and admire in them. As you assemble your support circle, you may want to team up with someone. In other words, get a teammate. Find someone whose weight loss and fitness goals are similar to your own. Your teammate could be your spouse or a close friend, a companion with whom you've shared a sense of purpose that keeps you both on task. This is someone with whom you work out, someone who's following the same program you're on, someone who helps you prepare healthy food, or someone who joins you on recreational outings. You and your teammate can help monitor each other's behavior, comparing notes on what's working and what's not, or rallying to each other's aid if needed. In recruiting a teammate, find someone with passion, passion that is contagious. Whenever you're around your teammate, you will begin to share in his or her excitement and purpose. You will be energized and impassioned, and your healthiest behaviors will be strengthened. Next is the cheerleader. The cheerleader is someone who causes you to believe that your goals are something worth having and is steering you gently toward what will come closest to achieving your goals. The cheerleader gives you honest, meaningful words of encouragement, building you up at critical times and offering support without a hint of judgmental attitude. What a cheerleader is not is a person who tells you that you're doing great even though you've been eating a half dozen donuts every day for breakfast. Whoever this person might be, he or she has an affirming presence in your life in a caring and responsible way. Knowing that your cheerleader is there to support you from a heart level brings energy and strength to your efforts. Be sure your cheerleader knows it's not a gift to tell you what you want to hear. Lastly, we have the umpire. With a candor and honesty that is refreshing, the umpire is someone who's ready to give you constructive feedback and responses that are inspiring to you. The umpire is a listener and observer, someone who is alert, interested, responsive, and never distracted when engaged in meaningful conversation with you. There is such a high level of trust in this relationship that you're able to share your feelings and reveal where you're vulnerable. Upbeat and empathic, the umpire listens carefully to you in order to determine the appropriate response or course of action. More often than not, this is to help you think through problems so that you come up with your own answers. These kind of relationships always increase your chance for success because the umpire stands by you no matter how deep your personal conflict or distress. An important caveat here is that the people in your circle of support may not all fit neatly into the coach, teammate, cheerleader, or umpire categories. I offer these just to get you thinking about who you want around you. Some of your supporters may have all four characteristics, admirable and motivating in all kinds of ways. If you have such a person or circle of people, then you are indeed blessed. And you should continue to nurture these relationships even after you've lost your weight and have it under control. If, for whatever reason, the people close to you are still reluctant in their support, sometimes you have to send them an ultimatum that states who will be a member of your team and who will not. Be considerate but firm, but don't stop short of telling them what you want and what you need. Some of these people in your immediate circle are simply not going to change their sabotaging spirit. A big part of gaining your goal is claiming the right to that goal and the right to expect what you need from others. It's a hard but true reality that you may even have to get some new friends, at least during the time you're at work on your task. You must decide that you would rather be healthy by yourself than fat with a bunch of other people. This means you're not bluffing. You're not blowing hot and cold, and you are in the game to the last. It means that you would rather be by yourself, treating yourself with dignity and respect, and living healthfully and happily than be around people that you can't count on. You may have a habit of being with certain people, but if they are disinclined to treat you reasonably and properly, as well as jeopardize your health, then maybe it's time for you to part company in order to do what you have to do. Step 3. Reopen the negotiations with your family. As for your immediate family, don't think for a second that I'm suggesting that you ditch a spouse or kids who incline towards being non-supportive. What I'm suggesting is that you reopen the negotiations on how your family should function. Look at it this way. You taught your family the rules. You fried the chicken. You baked the cookies. You drove them to McDonald's, and they, like you, have gotten accustomed to the same old way of living. But if that way of living is about to take a sharp turn, then it's only fair that you prepare them for what's around the corner. If you have taught someone how to play a certain game and then change the rules, that game is played quite differently, and the rest of the players are entitled to be warned and know about the new rules. As you reopen the negotiations, you must commit to do so from a position of strength and resolve, not from insecurity and self-doubt. The worst thing you could do is make a lot of noise about changing your lifestyle, only to revert to the old, familiar, destructive patterns. To talk about change and not do it is to teach your family to discount your declarations and commitments as nothing more than empty, meaningless words. Stay the course. You might begin your renegotiation conversations with some words like these. I need your loving support and cooperation. Please give me encouragement. This is important to me. Give me affection, but don't love me with food. Help me rearrange our schedule so that we can exercise together or do some things fun and recreational that are active. I would love it if you would try to eat the same healthy foods that I'm eating. I want you to be a partner in my program. I want my success to be your success. Please pay attention and lift me up if I'm tempted and about to fall. Whatever you say to them, do not waffle and do not be dissuaded from your resolve. where your well-being is concerned, commit to yourself that although it may be difficult to affect change in your relationships, you must not compromise. To compromise in this area is to sell out your dreams and goals of losing weight and having a healthier, more satisfying life. And remember, when you're taking care of yourself, you are taking care of the people that love you. If you love your children, take care of their mother or father. Step 4. Create accountability. Reporting your progress to an external accountability source, someone in your trusted circle of family and friends, has enormous motivating value and is an important part of goal setting. I promise you, you will respond better if you know that somebody is checking up on you. This approach has been used successfully with groups such as Alcoholics Anonymous, in which recovering alcoholics are assigned a sponsor to help them stay sober. Another way to create accountability is to join a support group for people like you who have weight and overeating problems. These groups are helpful if you ever come to feel that the people in your life do not understand your challenges, what you're going through, and how you feel. As a member of a support group, you can meet others who are working on the same problems and with whom you can share your victories and your struggles. Without accountability, you are apt to let yourself off the hook, failing to recognize slipping behavior in time to adjust and keep from falling short. So go public with someone you trust and find support when you need it. This will be a person or a group to whom you make periodic reports on your progress. In doing so, you would have step-by-step accountability, perhaps reporting to your accountability source every Friday afternoon to review how many pounds you lost that week, the frequency and duration of your weekly exercise sessions, or even your failure to accomplish what's required. Faced with this level of accountability, you are now motivated to stay on track, since you will be scrutinized on a weekly basis. Some days you might feel like eating right and exercising, some days you might not. But if you know precisely what you want, how to get there, and the time and places are scheduled and time protected, and there are real consequences for falling short, you are much more likely to continue in your pursuit of your goal. So set up an accountability source for yourself, one who will make it impossible for you to not achieve your goals. Always remember that it is your job to manage your weight. It's your accountability source's job to help and support you. But ultimately, only you and you alone are responsible for getting your weight under control. As you use this key, please don't be a lone ranger. If you're isolated, you'll have a tougher time keeping your weight down. Gather around yourself a nucleus of people with whom you can healthfully interact, people who care enough about you and have your best interest at heart. What matters is that you have people in your life who want you to succeed, not just for today, next week, or next month, but for the rest of your life. This is a supremely important key to permanent weight loss and control. In many ways, the end of this audio program is just the beginning. The beginning of a brand new way of living for you. You have wanted to lose weight for a very long time, and you must admit that never before have you had a better shot of doing it until now. I haven't given you a magic diet. I haven't told you that you can get skinny in 7 days. I haven't promised you a metabolic miracle. What I have told you is the real deal, that to change your weight, to achieve permanent weight loss, you have to be totally consciously in charge of you, everything you do, think, and feel, and use that control to create the healthy you that you deserve to be and have. If you have worked through this audio program sincerely, you are now ready to live this new life and experience the joy that will gush forth from it. With the 7 keys to permanent weight loss, you now have a concrete plan of action in place for living a healthier, richer, and fuller life. The more you put into this plan as you go forward, the more you will get out of it. When it comes to managing your weight for a lifetime, make use of everything you've been given here. Remember all the steps and tools we've talked about. If you ever find yourself slipping backwards, take command of the situation by using the 7 keys. Reaching your get real weight when you have the keys and follow the steps should be a one-way trip, and you will never, ever have to carry with you the baggage of unwanted fat. I believe that what works in your life works because you make it work. You succeed because you make the right choices, you choose the right attitude, and you enact the right behavior to generate the right results. It is you who must create the life you want, and the choice is yours to make. What matters now is that you continue to build this life for yourself, a life that with each passing day will bring you health, energy, confidence, a peace of mind that cannot be disturbed, and a spirit that soars. If you can do this, and believe me, you can, then you will have what you want because you made the choices, you accomplished what was required, and you reached for the best that was within you. I'll see less of you in the future.
The Ultimate Weight Solution, The 7 Keys to Weight Loss Freedom, was written and read by Dr. Phil McGraw. It was abridged for audio by Harold Schmidt. It was recorded at the Media Staff in Los Angeles, California. The associate producer was Suzanne Wetzel. The Ultimate Weight Solution, The 7 Keys to Weight Loss Freedom, was produced and directed by Karen Perlman. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.